Hey kids, and welcome to Do the Kids Know? That is this show where we talk about race, media, pop culture, and politics in Triple K Canada. I am one of your hosts, Kristen. On my screen is your other host, Prakash.
Hello.
And today we are going to talk about the housing crisis. Fun times ahead. But before we do that, we are going to talk about how CoStar read us this week. Prakash, do you want to go first?
I checked my chart today and it told me, don't apologize when you're not sorry.
I mean, that feels like sound advice.
It feels like good advice if you're trying to be a bad bitch. It's less good advice if you're trying to play nice in corporate and social environments in which, you know, possibilities of promotion or whatever is predicated on office politics. And in which case, sometimes to all of my fellow fire signs and Virgos in my life, because I feel like you're also part of this. Sometimes you can just say the words and you don't have to mean it.
See?
You don't have to mean it. It will just... Sometimes we just want to smooth things over and keep it pushing.
There's so much resistance in my body right now. Because if I don't mean it, why am I saying it?
Listen, you don't have to be... Yeah.
There's so much resistance in my body right now. If I don't mean it, why am I saying it? Like, we can move on without me lying to your face.
That's true, but I do love lying.
What?
Just because I can. Stir the pot. Why not?
Oh my God.
Anyway, what was your co-star, Kristen?
So, the one that was actually advice this week was, you don't have to use up all of your energy just because it's in high reserve, which is useful when I've just like on the tail end of or recovered from, like, wow, I actually feel good now that, you know, I'm not in pain. I can do things. Wow, amazing. So I don't have to use all my energy because I feel good. That's a good reminder.
I feel that too. Like, by Friday, today's a Friday, full disclosure. I, like, fully feel, like, all of my, like, there's, the tank is empty. Mm. There's nothing left. My cup runneth inside, not over. I need water. Yeah. Anyway, what are we talking about? How do we get here? What's your topic?
We can go back to our topic, but I'm not letting go of just my deep desire for you to rest more.
This will be the year of doing less. It's a you know, the resolution for the year. Okay, we're taking slow steps. I had my going away party for one of my jobs, so now I'm only down to two. Mm-hmm. Officially, they had my replacement, so things are happening.
That's great. I'm just going to flag that rest is not tied to your level of productivity or work. I said rest. I didn't say working less in order to rest more. I just said rest. Mm-hmm. But that's okay. We're talking about the housing crisis today.
Yeah, speaking of not getting rest. It's hard to rest when you don't have a house, Kristen. Do you know this?
I do know this. Do you want to tell us more about this?
Yeah, so we've talked about housing before. Truly, I can't remember in what context. And I'm sure, like, parts of this conversation we've had multiple times, but considering, like, what's been happening really recently, or what's happened recently in Montreal, very close to where I live, I thought we should talk about, gentrification, that's what we talked about, but I want to talk again specifically about the phenomenon of Airbnbs and other short-term rental housing. And the fact that this has had on our communities and on rental and housing infrastructure in Canada. Mm-hmm. I'm going to approach it from a very Montreal-specific place because that's where I live and where I understand the market the best. But most of Canada, all of Canada, as far as I know, is like especially in the pandemic, has really faced these problems. So depending on like where you're listening from, where you live, this is like a more or less pan-Canadian phenomenon. Probably also extends to the U.S. As well. But we're a Triple K Canada podcast. So we'll stick to that.
Yeah.
So I think it was March 20th that there was a fire in Old Montreal, which is like a neighborhood of Montreal, also called the Old Port. It's on the south end of the city. The city is an island, if people didn't know. And yeah, there was a heritage building that caught on fire. Exactly how, I'm not super sure. But yeah, this building caught fire, and several people who were inside have died. And I won't really get into all the details about like all that part of it, but it's pretty horrific. Mm-hmm. And the part that's like for me one of the most troubling parts of the story is that, and there are a lot of like really tragic details, is that they're not really sure, from what I've read, of how many people that they're looking for, because there are several units in this building that were operating as illegal Airbnb residences, I guess.
Mm-hmm.
And so they're looking for people, like they, I guess being the police, the city, are looking for people based off of like who has been phoned in as being missing, but also given that like people who might be vacationing, you know, like might not have like divulged all those details of where they're staying, how long, whatever, to their friends, family, whatever, that... Mm-hmm. I think right now that they're expecting that they're looking for 7 people that have been confirmed missing and who might be staying there, but they're not really sure. And then another kind of like tragic part of this story is that they also, the search and rescue has been very difficult because it's a heritage building and it was structurally very poor. And so they had to be very careful in like dismantling the building to look for people. In case the building collapses. Mm-hmm. So, which would make it dangerous, obviously, for the people doing the rescue missions, but also, like...
Not do more damage.
Yeah, to the bodies that are there. And so, this took place, like, very close to where I live. I don't live in a heritage building, but I live in Old Montreal. It was right beside one of the big museums. That building, too, has, like, received damage from, like, I think, like, the smoke and... The water that was used to to like douse the fire like flooded this other museum, and yeah, also very close to like one of my other workplaces. So every day where I go to work, I still see like the streets are still blocked off. They're still like working on recovering people and taking the building down. And it's been like, I think today makes 11 days. So I think like one of the biggest news items of this story has been not necessarily just like the fire and like the tragedy of the building and whatnot, but was that like this, yeah, building, or at least a section of it, was being operated as an illegal Airbnb, and the structure itself was like has, yeah. So when I say an illegal Airbnb, I can specify.
Mm-hmm.
So in Montreal, in order to like legally be allowed to operate your home, condo, apartment, whatever, as an Airbnb, you have to register it with the city. And the city has this registration because it has already been like a known issue that there are not enough housing options available for the number of people who need to be housed in the city. So if for whatever reason, like you are living in Montreal, you're being like rent evicted or I don't know, your like family is growing, you've run out of space and you like need to leave your place, find a new place and you can't find one. There's like a service the city offers where they will like help you look for housing. And if they can't find you one, they will like set you up somewhere temporary. If I can find the service, I will put it in the show notes. But apparently it has like... Every year, it's getting used more and more and more because the housing mm-hmm. that's available is less and less.
Mm-hmm.
So to combat this, a couple of years ago, the city decided to really restrict which areas of the city can be used legally as Airbnbs. These areas are mostly around St. Catherine Street, which is like an already high tourist traffic area. And the Old Port, Old Montreal is like not included in these areas that are allowed to operate Airbnbs. When people still operate Airbnbs anyways, it becomes an issue because in Quebec, there are like pretty good tenant protection laws compared to some of the other provinces. like Alberta, where there's no rent control. Mm-hmm. And because there's so many like protections for tenants, you basically will always have a good case to like force your landlord to maintain your building in like good enough condition such that it meets like these basic requirements, such as having like two exits. You need to be able to exit your apartment in like two ways. So typically through a front and back entrance, a fire escape, balcony, that kind of thing. When a building is being used for short-term rentals, so that could be in like a Airbnb.com situation, it could be another similar kind of like website that does short-term rentals. It could even be a Kijiji situation. But when people are coming and going to such a frequency where they're not staying and they don't know the laws of the region that, you know, dictates like what is not safe and legal housing, you can get into this kind of situation where you arrive, you're renting, suddenly there's a fire and you only have one working exit. Mm-hmm. And because this is not a legal Airbnb, it's not being inspected by the city, people are not following up, a fire starts and now you can't get out. And so this is like one huge issue where landlords, in this case, this person who owned the building, owns several buildings in Montreal, several that are used for similar short-term rental properties, which is also like managed by, so it's owned by one person, managed by somebody else. Several of these buildings have been flagged in the past for not conforming to local regulations for safety. Neither party has, as far as I've read, have commented on like why this is the case or why they're operating illegal short-term rentals. So these kinds of short-term rental situations can continue to endanger people, since longer-term rentals, renters like have more protections than short-term renters do. Mm-hmm. And these kinds of like landlords, slumlords, people who like own multiple properties, who are like doing it to turn a quick dollar, are able to do so better off with short-term rentals, again, because less in Quebec in particular, and with like Ontario, like what's it called? When you like have a low rent control, they have like these provinces that have rent control laws. Like, the longer you are able to stay in your apartment, mm-hmm. The cheaper overall the rent will be. Mm-hmm. Versus when landlords are able to like get people like in and out a lot, mm-hmm. They can use these times in between to increase the rent, even if they're like technically not supposed to. I've talked a lot, but do you want to hop in before I keep ranting?
Maybe, but it might detract from your point, because I want to bring it back to just the tenancy laws, because you made a comment about like folks who are doing short-term rentals, whether it's through Airbnb or anything like that, not knowing about the tenancy laws and so not knowing what their rights are in relation to their tenancy. But I feel like, especially in cities like Montreal, there are folks with longer leases who also don't know their tenants' rights. And so I'm wondering if you can speak on that a little bit, because I think that that adds to the housing crisis. It adds to folks paying a higher rent than they should when they enter a new apartment. It adds to just the clusterfuck that we're in, because folks are not aware of what their rights are in relation to their tenancy. Folks are not aware of where they can go, what resources are available to them, and who will speak on their behalf against their landlord, because their landlord isn't allowed to do the things that they're trying to do.
Yeah, those are good points. I'll finish writing about Airbnb and then I'll go back in terms of like thinking about.
Yeah, this is. I think I'll distract tenants from your point, but there are also like, yeah.
Yeah, I'll come back to that. And so for Airbnb, if you yourself are looking to rent an Airbnb, there's not a good way for you to know whether or not an Airbnb is legal or illegal. Again, I guess people in Montreal might know because it's been such a hot topic issue, but also like people also, I mean, also maybe I'm very aware because I spend time in housing advocacy, and I'm not blaming anyone for like wanting to stay in an Airbnb. Like it makes sense, especially when Airbnb first like got off the ground, became popular. It's like, it seems like a win-win. It's like, okay, someone is like not at home, so they're gonna rent their apartment cheaply. You can stay there and, like, you know, really like get to like live. I see your face.
Okay, because I'm like, it's making less and less sense now because Airbnb is now a corporation and you might as well just stay in a fucking hotel.
In terms of Airbnb's humble beginnings, the idea is that someone who's like either the landlord or the person living there is like sharing their home, like a home share, like a B&B, a bed and breakfast. If you've never been to a traditional B&B, the idea that it is like someone's like home, like a nice home that has several rooms and whatever, and then you like stay there the night, and then the family who like lives, operates the business, the bed and breakfast, they like serve you breakfast after you've had the bed, you know? So it's more of a like a cozier feel than something like a hotel where, like, you know, you like, I mean, I'm assuming you've, you know, people are familiar with how hotels operate. And then so Airbnb, the idea was to have this like service where like anyone can offer their homestay. So say you have a spare bedroom, say you're going to like, you know, be gone for a considerable amount of time. It's like a way of doing like short-term like subleases with all of the like legality wrapped up in it.
And then it was also like, you were to host this person, like somebody is staying in my place. Like if you're going to be in the place with them, like I can show you around the city while you are staying in my spare room. If I'm in the home with you, like I am hosting you while you stay in my place. It was supposed to be about camaraderie and community more than it is now in this very much like bed and breakfast feel like I'm sharing this space with you because you're in a new city or in a different city than you normally are. You're traveling and I'm a local to this place. So I'm going to show you, teach you about this place that I live in while you spend time here.
Yeah. And like as a tourist or someone visiting a space, like that makes a lot of sense, especially when during early Airbnb days, like they were like much cheaper or they could be much cheaper than a hotel. Especially if you're like a group and you can like rent like, you know, a space that has like several beds or like a bed and a couch or like a place with a kitchen, you know, like it is just much more comfortable. And maybe you're gonna, that allows you to stay in a location that is like closer to where you want to be. Say in Montreal, the major hotels are all like downtown. But if you, let's say you like come for like a conference and you're over at like, you know, the McGill campus that's like out in the farm in St. Anne de Bellevue, like it doesn't make sense for you to stay downtown when you need to be like so far away. But if you could like get an Airbnb much closer, that will probably be like a much nicer experience. And it makes sense. I'm not faulting anybody for like relying on Airbnb. And again, the way that this tech company works is that the first several years that they operate at a deficit. Like the company itself is not making money through consumer purchase of their products or through consumer use of their platform. They're making money out of investments from like angel investors or from other kind of like investment firms or whatever. Like they're relying on other rich people to fund them to like exponentially grow their product until such a point where it becomes like ubiquitous in society, where Airbnb, the concept of it, has become synonymous with hotels. That is like no longer a question of like, oh, have you heard of Airbnb? It just is.
And I feel like when they got to a point where they became like able to sustain themselves is the point where it became synonymous with hotel and lost the original like idea and feel behind it.
Yeah, because there are people out here like landlords who are like making a full business off of like buying property and like flipping them to be Airbnbs.
Exactly, which is like not the point of the Airbnb concept or original concept at all, but it is now because now it's a company. Now it's about how much profit can I make from this thing? Because capitalism.
Because capitalism. And because this is the thing, right? It's like, say you have a flat to rent. Let's say in Toronto, the going rate for if you're renting like a one-bedroom condo is probably around like $2,000, right? Which is like a lot of money for like one person to fork up. But the going rate for a hotel is probably also like $300 a night. So if you can have an Airbnb And let's say, like, per night, you charge $250, which is, like, let's say, like, the going rate for a hotel, but the Airbnb is much nicer of a stay because you get a whole apartment. You only technically have to, like, rent that for, like, a couple of days to make the same amount of money that you'd make from, like, one person renting it for a whole month. If you are providing an Airbnb in a place like a Toronto, a Vancouver, a Montreal, places that have, like, a high tourist influx, like, you can cash out with a lot more money versus should you rent to a long-term renter. For landlords who are like looking to make the most money possible, this is an attractive option. And people have made full landlord careers. There are property management firms that specialize in Airbnb. So you as a landlord don't have to do anything really. You just provide the space, and then these like specialized companies will do the rest for you.
Which becomes a problem because there are folks who need to live there to live, and they can't live there because you're providing short-term rental through Airbnb to folks for profit.
Yeah. I have a whole separate rant about the whole like renting industry in the first place. Mm. But we'll save that for another time. And I feel like there, as this conversation becomes more and more spotlighted in like mainstream media or in broadcast media, mm. I think like we as a culture, as a society, as like young people who are like, you know, attuned to these issues, have to also consider the ways that we ourselves are implicated or are implicating others in this. Mm. I, for instance, Prakash, have stayed in an Airbnb many times. Airbnbs where like I'm renting a room and there's someone there, whatever. But also times where there's like I never see the person who is either the owner or the property manager. Mm. I like show up, you like punch a thing in the thing to like get the key in the thing. Words apparently have left me, but the lockbox where there's just a lockbox. They like text you a code. You like, you know, type in the code, you get the key, you like get in. There's like kind of like a hotel, there's a binder of information of like places to go, this is the Wi-Fi, whatever. Mm-hmm. Where it has become very like hotelified, and like yeah, I have stayed in many of these places, typically in tourist destinations. Mm. And then thinking a bit more like self-reflexively, like okay, as a tourist, especially if you're going to somewhere like Montreal, somewhere like, I don't know, Venice, Mexico City, Bogota, like places that you're going to experience the culture, the vibe, the feeling of the city. When more and more people are looking to Airbnb as option number one, more and more people, like landlords, are enticed to provide housing or to convert their housing into Airbnbs. This makes it such that there are less and less available housing for rent because, as we all know, buying a place for most people in this generation, in this age, is not possible. And so we are forced to rent. But now there's fewer and fewer places to rent. And the people, the communities who have made these places, the Mexico Cities, the Montreals, the Bogotas, the Beijings, whatever, interesting places to visit, the people who like bring, make, provide the culture, can no longer live in these places, then we, the tourists, are part of the problem, are really like a driving factor in this like Airbnb-fied gentrification, in this loss of culture, in making these places less and less affordable for the people who are from there, for the people who live there, for the people who are forced to live there, for issues including like displaced migration and whatnot. We've had a similar conversation when we had our episode on digital nomadism. Which is when like you as someone from a rich country making like US dollars, Canadian dollars, euros, go to a quote unquote developing country or the third world like Mexico or Croatia or whatever, so that you can live much more comfortably than you do in your country of origin, but make no attempt really to like Indonesia just becomes a backdrop for your Zoom calls. You're actively taking the culture away from those who are making it. You are making these places more and more unaffordable. Mm-hmm. And And I think it's also important to note that, like, we can both be the recipients and also the cause of these issues. Like, because I've, you know, because I'm a post-intellectual.
Are you?
A non-practicing intellectual.
Are you?
Hard to say.
Aspirationally, both of those things.
I'm an aspirational, post-intellectual, reformed intellectual.
There you go. That's better.
There's an interesting study from 2019 out of McGill's School of Urban Planning called Short-Term Rentals in Canada, Uneven Growth, Uneven Impacts. That really does the work of, like, laying all this out.
Great.
And this is, like, a pre-pandemic paper, so...
that means
the pandemic has also really, I know, has really accelerated this issue because... This used to really face, like, major urban centers, Toronto, Montreal, Vancouver, where housing was already tight, and then this has made it worse. Mm-hmm. But in the pandemic, when people have realized that, oh, I actually don't need to live in these places in order to, like, keep my job, in order to do whatever, cottage country areas, places that are more rural, suburban, whatever, all these places, rents have been really jacked up. Because again, kind of like with the digital nomadism, now you don't have to go all the way to Bali to live cheaply. You can, or, you know, whatever. Because for that same $2,000 that you pay for your one bedroom in Toronto, you probably get something like, let's say, much more spacious, somewhere like Windsor, for that same amount of money. However, people who live on a Windsor economy, people who are local to Windsor, who, you know, which is a city that has had several, like, financial setbacks with the closing of various automation plants, then suddenly, all these Torontonians have brought in gentrification, and now you cannot afford to rent where you live or to move or, you know, to access services and whatnot. So I'll link this article in the show notes, and there's kind of like an abridged version in this article on Passage that makes this argument that I've made, I think, much more clearly and succinctly, called Help Save the Cities You Love, Stop Using Airbnb. I also linked it in last month's newsletter. I think it's an important resource just to sort of, like, clarify this issue of, like, if you truly care about places that you're going to go to visit, I know hotels are, like, not great. A lot of the time, especially if you're a person of color, if you're Black, Indigenous, these have historically been places where that were used to keep people who are other, capital O other, out. But you can also, I guess, do the work to see, like, in these places, especially like in Montreal, where are legal Airbnbs allowed to exist? But again, like, there are other ways of finding places to stay. Like, people do home shares. There are, like, Facebook groups. There are, like, other ways of finding these, like, non-corporatized short-term rentals, because some people do need a short-term rental, and that's fine. Like, you're not a villain for, you know, being transient in a place.
Yeah. I think that I would be interested in doing another episode to talk about sort of tenancy laws, to talk about longer term rentals and just what the tenancy laws are, specifically in Montreal, just for, like, folks who live in Montreal who might not know what their rights are. But then I'm also interested in talking more about travel, just because I think we approach travel very differently. And I, in particular, thrive on making white folks uncomfortable by being in their spaces when I travel in, like, a luxury setting. Like, yes, hotels are not supposed to be for me, but I enjoy walking into a hotel and making them do things for me. So I would be interested in talking about that more.
We can do that.
Yeah. Like, yeah, I belong here and I pay for this room, so go do the thing.
I think we can end the episode there, and then, we'll save the discussion about, like, tenancy, long-term renting for
another episode. And then, like, short-term rental options.
Yeah.
outside of Airbnb. I think we should have an episode on that. Yeah.
And so if you are, let's say, a Montrealer, a Torontonian, Vancouverite, and you notice that, you know, your neighbor is operating an Airbnb that may or may not be illegal, turns out that reporting illegal Airbnbs is very suspicious. I was looking for the post, but I couldn't find it in a Facebook group I'm in. But the story is that someone, having not understood where Airbnb are allowed to operate in the city, knew that their neighboring apartment was operating as an illegal Airbnb. Mm. And so Airbnb requires people who are posting their places to, like, have it be verified by the city. I'm not a landlord, so I haven't looked into this so deeply, but apparently, like, Airbnb does not really, like, they're not too concerned whether or not the apartment is legally zoned as Airbnb or not. But you can report illegal Airbnbs. So this person on this Facebook group reported an illegal Airbnb to Airbnb. This person did not want to share, or Airbnb asked them if Airbnb could share the personal details of the complainant.
Why?
To the host of the Airbnb property. This person was obviously like, no. Why would I want you to share my personal information with a landlord?
Yeah.
Who, like,
the fuck?
You know, might that also own my building sense. For all I know or whatever. But because this individual did not want Airbnb to share their personal information with the person that they're complaining against,
they didn't follow up on the complaint.
Airbnb was like, oh, because of this, we cannot follow through with your complaint, or we cannot proceed.
That doesn't make any sense.
How? Why?
Because they're a corporation. They're going to find the loophole that they need to not do the thing, because all they care about is the money.
Yeah. Like,
once again, capitalism. Imagine the meme. I will send you the meme.
It's always capitalism. We can maybe share the meme on Instagram or something for the people listening.
Maybe that's the that's what the new episode alert is this meme.
Perfect. Great. Well, I'm sufficiently riled up.
Yeah.
My parents are coming to visit next weekend, and I insisted that they get a hotel. Even though they're like, oh, we can look at Airbnbs. And I was like, no.
No.
You shall not.
Especially not after this.
No, I'm like, when they just burnt down and you cannot trust these hoes, okay? At least a hotel. God forbid.
Some kind of,
like,
pick up that phone at any time, like, and make the white bitches at the front desk get you thing. I don't know if they're bitches. I don't know if they're white. That was a lot of assumptions on my part. Wow.
Listen, the Hilton family are not the ones who are going to be bringing your water to your room.
I apologize. I apologize to everyone involved.
Wow. Do the kids know? Canceled after 3 seasons.
My statement stands. Pick up that phone at any time you want, and there's folks at the front desk to get you things. Take advantage.
Yeah, you know that Wi-Fi will be working, no problem. Anyhow.
Yay.
Thanks for sticking around. Stay in the know, and we'll get back to you in time.
Yeah.
Bye.
You can find us on these here internets, on the social medias, at the handle DoTheKidsKnow, or at DoTheKidsKnow.ca. You can subscribe to our monthly newsletter at tinyletter.com/DoTheKidsKnow, and visit our Patreon to show your appreciation with one-time or monthly tips. If you've got questions, comments, or concerns, email us at DoTheKidsKnow@gmail.com. And finally, please rate, review, and subscribe. That helps other kids stay in the know.